Hi everyone, I'm Dragan and this is the Lunch Break Coach Podcast. This is not a mini series, this is a much longer series than the usual one. Today I'm here with Heidi Lofthus. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. For those who don't know, Heidi's coach, mom, project manager. She lives between two islands. So she lives she lives sometimes in Malta and she lives in an island in Sweden, which I don't know how to pronounce the name, but you can tell us where you are. And today we're going to talk about coaching, leadership, life, and how things going on for her and for me in general. So I hope you're going to enjoy it. Hi, Heidi. It's so cool to have you here. It's no secret that we interact, you know, from time to time, and you know, like it's a good that we have this friendship across the years. I still remember how it started. It was in an office in a company you used to work, and then I don't know how things actually move naturally without a lot of effort. I can't remember the year, but it was pre-COVID.
I remember exactly, because that's the year when when HR Connect kicked off. So it's the end of 2018, and I invited the entire network to the offices. You were one of the guests, and my very particular point that I remember of you, Dragan, was we all had to sort of give some kind of secret or share something with the other members. And you used to be a ballerina.
I used to do ballet. Yes. And people don't really think, but yeah, that's true. I studied in a drama school. Like my BA is in public speaking and drama. And the first year I had to do ballet. Then I did jazz and I did some other dances, but I still remember the ballet was a nice experience, not for my joints. That's what I can tell you. Because it's too difficult to do classical things at the age of 19. It's too late. But it was a good thing. So it helped me with my daughter when she was doing her ballet classes.
I think ballet could be, we'll probably get into my ice hockey later on as well, but you know, with the structure and the attention that you really need for the sport and for the dance, I think that helps specifically younger kids. Mm-hmm. Ballet might not be what I would encourage my kids to do longer, like in the teenage years growing up with all the sort of external pressures and stuff like this. But my kid actually did ballet when we lived in Malta. She was a rock and roll ballerina, though.
ballet is the foundation of things. Yes. You know, even my daughter, she moved to hip hop and contemporary, but she couldn't go there if she didn't have the good foundation of ballet. So it's the mother of all things. And that's actually very, very often, even in our job, we started somewhere, we build the foundation, we learn how to work. And then at one point we start moving into other things once you're good with the foundation.
Now that you say this, Dragan, this actually hits very much the nail on something that I've been thinking about. Again, I go back to ice hockey. It's like it sort of fills everything. But we spend so many hours in the hockey arena. Both kids play 3 times a week. I coach the one team and Hampus coach the other team. So the entire family is there a lot. I sit in the board as well of this youth club. And I focus a lot of time on sort of the girls hockey as well, sort of setting up practices for only the girls to sort of have a girl team. However, when it comes to the future, you know, sometime along their line, they're 8 and 10 now, they might come to the understanding that they're not going to make it into the NHL, if they don't, that is. Has all this time in the hockey rink and all the hours of ferry, mind you, the ferry takes 4 hours, going from Gotland, that's the pronunciation, going on to sort of meet the other teams. Will this all have been a big waste? Like, should we actually focus our lives on something else that is not just logistics, like all these hours? Then, the light in the winter that the ice hockey rink sort of gives, that's valuable. But another thought has come up, and that's exactly what you were talking about. In terms of them growing up, Maybe at 15, they go, I'm not going to play this anymore. I'm not good enough, or whatever they might come to conclusion to. If I look at Hampus, like, he's probably one of the best team players. He has like a social understanding. He can keep calm. You know, there is so much, the structure, the routine, it's almost military in terms of, you know, you have to abide, you have to listen, to understand and to develop. So there is something in like the people skills that grow mm-hmm. during this time. Mm-hmm. So it's not a waste. I can just sort of scrap that thought.
I don't see it as a waste because, like in any team, you learn mm. that the other people you rely on, you have to be with other people. It's not like a single game. Mm. Even the goalkeeper that stays always at the back is actually depending on everyone else. So he's the last person that's going to perform an action before, you know, something happened. And it also teaches on discipline, not only to master the skill of ice skating, but okay, this is my role here in this team. You know, I have to focus on what I'm instructed to focus because everyone on the team expect me to do exactly this.
Exactly.
Yes, I can improvise if I have a shot. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it does look like improvisation, but at the end, I think it's just, you know, everyone is doing what they need to do. So the one thing is the team at the end. So this analogy is actually very, very cool.
Yeah. And also you were talking about platform, like to have this platform, to have this skill to actually skate, but also having the routine and the structure in your life, it becomes kind of a platform, like you can always deviate from it, but you have your base that you stand on. And that sort of, you know, goes into freedom. Like you have this base.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly where to go back to if something fails. But knowing this and having your skill, you can basically do whatever you can sort of fly free instead of having like loose being a joker of different kinds. Mm. Then you have one sort of basic skill. And I'm sort of I'm quite attracted to this thought.
What I'm seeing here is quite interesting. You can't actually improvise if you don't know the basic skills. Like if you don't know the skills, you can't improvise. You can't do something new if you don't know the skills. And that's also go back to the ballet we're talking about. So see how many analogies we found with growing children and giving them something in life. And I was thinking about how sport made me. Mm. You know, I was very, very lousy as a child, like poor performer. Everything like that. Yes. I repeat it a year. And then I engaged in martial arts and for a good 13, 14 years. And that gave me a lot of structure. And I regained and I started performing better at school. My life changed. So it was a team plus individual sport. So we were functioning together as a group, but at the same time, you perform as individuals. So it was quite a building thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic. We already said a lot of things about you, but I'm super curious who you are. You know, I know you for quite some time, but actually, who is Heidi?
Oh, it sounds like a pre-meditated thought. But when you ask that, I go, I'm actually quite selfish. Like since we moved here and since I have my own strategies for every year, I have now the luxury of being a bit more selfish. Like the kids are growing up, the surroundings and the environment around us here gives us that luxury. We don't have to be attentive to all the details around childhoods and kids all the time. When you live on an island, there are boundaries as well, the physical boundaries, which makes me not having to engage in every little invite that I get. And also, it's more of a country. This is a town place, right? So it's not like Malta. It's not hectic. There are not that many stimuli around me. So there is lots of time for me to do things that I want to do. And also, you know, all of a sudden, I can spend a lot more time with me, which is actually quite nice, I've realized. I never done that before.
Because I was wondering when you said I'm selfish, I felt like there's something wrong being selfish, or the concept of being selfish means like we're bad when we're selfish. We need to give ourselves to everyone. We can give ourselves to everyone if actually we're not good with ourselves?
No, I don't know. Maybe I'm sort of just taking a lot of time. I have the luxury. I want to be humble and say this. Like, I have the luxury of, you know, spending time with myself, for myself, like, oh, my own personal development, which is not necessarily work related, but, you know, me going out running every morning in the forest. I mean, who can do that? A few percentages.
Definitely not me, because where I am at the moment, there are no forests. So definitely difficult. We often speak about the seasons in life. So kind of you're in a season in life that you can afford this. That doesn't guarantee that the next season will allow you to do this, because something might change for good as well. And you might need to be more engaged.
You're pulling me down from my my fantasy cloud here. But yes, very much.
It's more probably like enjoy it as much as you can. If this is, you know, if this is what is it at the moment, I think that's the best you can get. And yeah, it is a luxury.
You know what? I don't, and this is where I sort of struggle with being humble. And I remember saying this when we moved to Gotland 2.5 years ago from Malta. I remember, like, it's a very non-Swedish trait to go, my life is just amazing. My life is like an Instagram account. It might not be an Instagram account to everyone, but for me it is, like, basically every day I wake up and I go, this life is just amazing. And it's bragging, it's not nice, it's not charming, that's not sort of the person that I want to portray. So how do I actually go on about it and talk about who is Heidi without mentioning these things that are very true?
Yes, you know what I mean? I see your point. Like, it's an Instagram, but it's an Instagram that you like, and it's not necessary other people to like it, because most of the Instagram accounts are made for other people to like them. So we don't know really what it is behind. But as you said, my life is not only like shine and glory and nice pictures and things like that. It's, you know, everything.
Sort of how you approach things. Like this morning when I was out running, it's draining. It's raining and it's cold. And I go, if I put the right music on to match this, then it turns out, you know, just amazing. Music is one of the tools I use to sort of get in the mood to do whatever I need to do.
What's favorite? What's on the playlist?
It depends on the mood and what I need to do. However, and this is quite interesting, I can't mix. I can't sort of listen to Sigur Rós when I go out running. That's my working music, because I don't know, I'm Icelandic, so that's perfect work too.
So it needs to be something that is for fun and there's something for work.
Exactly. So if I go out driving very, very super early in the mornings, if I have activities, and I drive for maybe 30 minutes let's say I'm going to the beach. I can't listen to that music when I'm working, because then all my thoughts go to that activity. And that destroys like my focus entirely. I think everyone has these kind of tools around them. I'm just very, very aware of them. Like what tools to use for certain scenarios. And I think building up this Instagram life or account for myself, it's very much based on these tools and sort of strategies. Yes, Gotland has boundaries because it's natural, it's an island. But like my strategies that I built for myself every year, they also set up some kind of boundaries.
Go ahead.
When we moved here, like a natural strategy was basically to land, to settle. You know, we didn't have a bathroom in the house. We had to sort of fix the house. I had to set up the company that Hampus and I are now employed with so that we can invoice Malta and our employers in Malta. Kids have to love school. Kids have to have friends. I need friends. So the first year to sort of settle these things, where do we take our next COVID shot? These kind of things. And that was the only boundary. Like this is the focus now. Like I'm not going to go out and sort of do everything. Next year was basically building platform. Like, are we paying the right accountant? Do we, you know, I got certified. These kind of things. This year is all around upskilling.
You brought the topic about boundaries, and starting from the physical boundaries and then the boundaries we set with other people. And this is quite interesting because I'm seeing a lot of people not realizing the importance of boundaries. And they think boundaries is something bad. And it's not kind towards other people. What is your major challenge with establishing your boundaries around yourself? Like what do you find most difficult?
I think the boundaries have just helped me. I never ever used the terms boundaries before moving here. And for me, having like constantly hundreds of horses running around against each other in my head, like I'm a very not focused person, boundaries helps me massively. When it comes to why there would be some kind of taboo around boundaries and other people, one thing that I can think of is previously I'm always quite personal with people, like social, you know.
Yes.
I am very much pulling in the private stuff for my selected people. So like I even have boundaries in terms of people around me. Like, yes, there are a lot of people around me, but a few get inside the boundaries, and that can be private. So I sort of, and that's, maybe that's what people think is, you know, a bad thing, that you block yourself or
protect yourself most probably. Yeah. Protect your time and protect everything you have, because like you're selecting the people you would like to be, and they need to be the people you like to be. So there's a trade-off a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And there is also the boundary between my islands, like Gotland and Malta. Mm-hmm. They're different lives. Mm-hmm. We talked about this before. I talked to you about it.
There's a whole continent between them. So,
but also, like, who am I in the different islands?
Mm-hmm.
Like here, I go out to my little hut where I have my office. I walk in my clogs. In Malta, that wouldn't very much work.
No.
But I know the Malta lifestyle because I lived there, you know, 12 years. And I feel like super home and comfortable moving around that. But in terms of the way I live my life, they're totally different.
Mind you, some people wear clogs here even in Malta. It's a bit hot for them. My wife got two pairs and I couldn't stop laughing about this.
She got two pairs.
Yes.
One for front and one for back.
I don't know. She's like, I don't know. Anyway, because this is a lunch break podcast and that's how it's called. So I was wondering, okay, we said about what you do your morning and how you keep yourself focused in your work, but how do you spend your lunch break? What do you do?
This is maybe where my wild horses need to sort of calm down. I don't have that. I don't have like a particular lunch break. I do in the sense that, so I work two different jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got the project, like HR Connect, and then I also coach. And to sort of get that, you know, I need to match my hours with whenever I'm needed or whenever I'm being called in for HR Connect or for my coaching. If that happens over the lunch hour, I obviously work over the lunch hour. But most often, I got the morning time in the office, the little hut, and I go in and lunch is often prepared for me.
Lucky.
I don't know. I probably work. I try to work as much as I can while the kids are in school, and then, you know, take earlier afternoons. Dragan, it's a very good question. This is not only what I do with my lunch break, because I don't deserve a full 1 hour lunch break. because I work a little bit all the time, and not that much all the time. So I work weekends, I work lunchtimes, I work like all the time, but not extensively. Do you know what I mean? Like I can easily sort of, you know, have a gap of 3 hours and go surfing or go ice hockey practicing with my kids as a coach.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean very, very well. And I still, I'm still very protective about my lunch break. Yes, I
made
sure.
What do you do on your lunch break?
To be honest, I prepare some food for myself and I rest. Sometimes I take a nap. I have this, I have the timer and I take like 20 minutes nap.
Is this an age thing or is this like, no, you can do it. No, you can serve.
I experimenting with this, but yes, I'm kind of, you know, I'm in a bit of a privileged position because I have also control my time. So it's not relevant for everyone. I know some companies introduce napping pods or stuff like that, but I don't know how this works. I don't nap every day, maybe once a week. And I try to distract from my work, especially if I had the whole full morning of clients. And then I come refresh for the next set of clients. So my initial plan was not to work every day, but I work every day. So that
isn't eventually... that everyone's plans? Like, I'm going to retire early. But I feel like sometimes I feel like, this life that I lead now, I can live this forever. Because I've managed to get some kind of work balance into this. So it's actually functioning every year, probably all life. It's a luxury. And here we go. Not charming, not humble, but it works for me. Maybe next time you call me, it doesn't work. Like last time when I called you, like, Dragan, I was... very, very much in the darkest of pits. And that's, you know, that's when I need my, you know, boundaries. Like, who are my selected people that I, you know, go to? And you're one of them. Like,
very good.
For trust, you know, like, I need to speak to someone. I'm not in a good place.
It's, I mean, I remember this conversation. It was quite, I felt quite privileged, to be honest. To be in this conversation, it's a nice thing. I mean, how someone build the skill to reach out to people, like, because a lot of people are afraid of reaching out to people, to friends, because of many reasons, you know, like, I don't want to overwhelm them, I don't want to be a problem for them, I don't want, well, sometimes friends just don't know how to listen. But how someone can build the skill to reach out to their friends for, as you call them, like, darkest moment.
Yeah, exactly. I think I have made it quite clear to myself, again, boundaries, like, you know, who do I need in my life, like, and who do I don't need? Because now I have the luxury of time and I can actually sit down and sort of think about this. So what do I need from other people? I need trust. I need love. I need... everyone might not give the same. Laughter, people that I learn things from or people that inspire me. I make sure that I keep very frequent contact with these people. And it could be a new connection. It's very likely that it's very, very old connections. So, I don't know. Like a natural, like, this person gives me joy. I want to hang out with this person. This person believes in me or, you know, inspires me. I want to hang out with this person. Hopefully it's a mutual thing as well. Might not always be. Then it's going to, you know, vanish the relationship or the connection. But I've noticed lately that I can select... do you know what? My kid comes in here, not knowing boundaries.
And I have a neighbor who is drilling, and it doesn't matter that I'm in a semi-soundproof room, I still can hear it. So they don't have any boundaries as well.
No boundary boy. No, but I think that if it's hard to reach out to people, no. If you know why you're calling out to that person, I don't think it's hard. But I do think that that's one of my tools to sort of That's one of my ways into my Instagram life. Like, I have people that I call for this, people that I call for that, you know, different ways of, I don't know. I went to Stockholm last week. We talked about that. It was snowing. And very, very old friends heard that I was coming and, you know, just rescheduled their dinner so that they could fit me, my quick in and out pop. And I think that sort of, that's love, if nothing else.
It's very kind. Yeah.
And when I'm in my darkest pits, I call you. That's trust, you know. So if you have established why you're in relation with a certain person, I don't think it's very hard.
Yes. I mean, like, but no.
Are you talking about like shyness or being brave, or what do you think prevents people from actually calling out?
Sometimes I'm seeing it as they don't want to be seen as weak people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember our conversation, and you're definitely not weak. It just, you know, that was something happening.
It was just very fragile.
Yes, but they're two different things, you know. And they're two different things to me, like being fragile and being weak. And probably sometimes being fragile is just a momentary thing. It's not that's what we are, but as everything else, we tend to break or lose our strength because of many reasons, you know, just a bit tired. I mean, this morning I'm feeling wrecked because I had a jiu-jitsu session last night. So it's not really like if someone comes to me, I'm probably like fall in pieces. But that's my
physical. You were probably also celebrated this morning because it's your.
Oh, yes, it hurt. Hey, yes, yes, yes. So
I
really woke up as an old person this morning.
Double nap today.
I was speaking to my father. I told him, everything hurts, but at least I know. And he told me, you know, that's really good because everything hurts, but I don't know where it's coming from. So this was a bit of a dad wisdom this morning I got from him. This was part one of our podcast series with Heidi. In part two, we're going to look into her experience in the corporate world, how to be a successful HR nowadays, and how to keep your boundaries and live and enjoy the life you want.